1290. Stay tuned.
Anyone can make a change, the fear they have.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Montecito Bank and Trust, proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years. Pierre LaFon, Wendy Foster, offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines. CSU Channel Islands, no matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And Sansum Clinic, whose multi-specialty team of medical professionals have been providing quality care to you and your family for 98 years. And we're here today with Holly McCord Duncan from Smart College Admission. Holly is a college admissions counselor. Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah, a college expert.
College expert. Well, thank you for being here. You know, it's the college counselors have been in the news quite a bit.
Had some interesting things.
I don't know if you're going to be in the movie or the book.
I plan to avoid it at all costs. Yeah. Not my style.
But has that hurt the business? I mean, have people tend to look at things in a kind of black and white way sometimes? Have clients been afraid to retain someone like you because of the implication?
Not from what I have seen. What I have seen, it's really interesting, is the institutions themselves doing a lot of self-evaluation and putting more checks and balances in place to make sure that when a student is admitted, they really are legitimately qualified for the position or for the spot. I have not noticed a particular bounce back in terms of people hesitating to use my services. What I have noticed is that people are better about vetting who they want to use, which I'm all in favor of.
Well, you know, it's interesting that we talk about counselors. We talk about, in this context, getting into school, but particularly teens, everyone, I think, fits into what I'm about to say, but teens particularly are go through a difficult time. It's a really difficult age. And the word counselor really is a bigger term when you're dealing with these kids, not just getting into college. In a way, you become sort of like, almost like a therapist to them, because you in order to do your job, I guess you really have to understand what they're going through and help them go through things, not just writing essays.
Oh, it's much more than writing essays. And I think that's actually one of the latter steps. Where it starts for me when I meet with a client is to try and figure out what's their personality like and what are their strengths and what are their aptitudes. And a lot of times teenagers feel like, well, there's nothing special about me. I don't know what you want to know. So what I try and do is get to know them a little bit, because really, here's how I describe what I do. All of us have had the experience of going to a concert with our parents or somebody that basically they said, you're doing this. And you get there and you're looking at your watch and maybe you go to the bathroom a couple times just to get out of the room because it's not your thing. And then on the opposite end, you have the experience of going to a concert where you know the music and you're having a good time, and all of a sudden they say it's the last set and you think, wait, what? Where did that time go? That's what I'm trying to do for students. I want them to find that second option where they feel like, I'm not just here because somebody told me to be here. I'm here because I see myself in the people around me and I like what I see here.
Which is interesting, because kids are really not, because of their age, really going to naturally understand where they are. That some of them don't know where their head lies. And it's normal. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I didn't know which way was up. And now you're asking them to choose a path to career. That you ask them, what's your passion? You know, their passion is sleeping
more.
That's
ridiculous that we ask them to even declare a major, to be honest with you.
So how do you deal with these kids who, at least the honest ones, that say, I don't know what I'm interested in. How do you start?
Honestly, I cheer a little bit. When I think of who I was, certainly at 18, and what I thought I wanted to do, most of the students I talk with, I can say this is a bigger statistic, roughly half of the students who go to college in general think they want to be doctors. And so when you ask a student, I want to be an engineer, a doctor, a lawyer, it's because that's a label they know. And really, there's just so much they're unaware of at this point that what I try and do is figure out, all right, great that that's what you think you want to do. I think there's a high probability you will end up changing it. But what I want to know is your personality and a little bit of, are you that person who jumps in and takes a leadership role? Are you the person who learns best by observing? Are you comfortable in a small group discussion, or are you really self-motivated and will get yourself to a much larger class? And it's, to me, that's more about what the process is. So when they say, I want to be a doctor or whatever it is, great, I will help you get there, but I also want to make sure that you understand I'm perfectly comfortable if you end up changing your plan.
Now, what we just talked about is things that I think, and I think normal people would say is the way, the questions that you should be asking. Right before the show, the Wall Street Journal on its website published an article that's going to be in tomorrow's new Wall Street Journal. And it talks about a study that the administration just released today about earnings potential for almost every school. And it compared the earnings potential of the schools to the cost, the average debt that a student who graduates from that school has at the end of that 4 years. And it looks at it from a return on capital basis. And, you know, we can go through this article, but I don't think that's relevant right now. I think what's interesting is right before we were talking about passion, we were talking about things that is suitable for the kid. And the Wall Street Journal article, which is the result of a study by the Department of Education, is all about return on equity. And, you know, is that what we want our children to aspire to get the highest return on their dollar? Or do we want them to be happy? Do we want them to succeed? And this is really a fundamental issue that, you know, when you put it in terms of return on equity, you're really bringing it down to the kind of, I think, the lowest denominator.
I would agree with you. And I think that one of the things that is not talked about, and part of the reason I started my business, was people were not asking the right questions or thinking about the right criteria. They think about, well, how competitive is that college? How highly is it ranked? How much does it cost? Really, that's not where I would say you're going to find the value of an institution. Because what I encourage students to do is, rather than look at the cost that's published on a website, you can instead say, okay, what percentage of students graduate within 4 years? Because after 4 years, Cal grants aren't any good anymore. And so you'll be paying more. Not only that, but you'll be missing the income from years 5 and 6 in a job. So I ask students to look at that. I ask them to look at the average amount of debt by the time a student graduates. Because under that example, you can compare Cal State LA, you can compare UCLA, and you can compare a private school called Santa Clara University up north. On the surface, Santa Clara University is about $71,000, whereas UCLA is $34,000 roughly by the time tuition and everything gets added in. The average amount of debt is only $5,000 difference by the time you get down to it. And then if you were to incorporate the average starting salary, which, to be fair, is a bit geared depending on if a school specializes in engineering or teachers or something, but the average starting salary at Santa Clara is $15,000 more than the average starting salary at UCLA. So that $5,000 of debt is not such a big consideration when you look at all the factors and all the numbers.
Yeah, one of the things that one of our sponsors is CSUCI, CSU Channel uh-huh. Islands, and one of the things that I've been trying to do to help them is to make people in Santa Barbara more aware of this asset. It's 25% of the cost of UCSB. Teachers don't get promoted because they're right. Teachers get promoted because they teach well. There are some real jewels in different communities that
Absolutely.
People just ignore.
Yeah.
Again, it's not all about UCLA, which is almost Nope. impossible to get into anywhere. You might as well think about the realistic part of getting into college.
Well, and you should not just think about getting in. You should think about what that experience will be like so that I understand everyone focuses on the academics because that's how we measure things, really. But where my perspective is, up until about age 18, you kind of carry this bucket around where everybody fills it full of values for you, whether it's your religion or your how much you value school or friends or whatever it is. Those values are who you are at 18. My hope is when students go to college, they will dump that bucket out and sort through it, and it'll be rough. There will be moments where it goes well and where it doesn't. But by the time you graduate college, if an institution is doing their job well, you don't just carry those values, you own those values. That's really who you are. You walk the talk.
So I don't know how many college counselors there are in the high schools that are provided for free. But I imagine, like everything else, it's not quite enough to satisfy the demand. So this is sort of a snide question. Is it unfair that the only people that get the benefit of someone like you are people with some substance? That is, you know, kids who don't have resources just got to get in line for the college counselor in high school.
I think we do such a disservice to our high school counselors. They, on average, have close to 400 kids who are kids, some of whom are doing really well and on track for college, and some of whom are dealing with some really scary stuff in their life that college is not even on the radar. Just getting them to school would be a major accomplishment. So I think we're really unfair to our counselors and what we ask them to do. We also don't give them training on what the different kinds of colleges are and what the financial aid options are. You walk into a counseling office, and most of the time you see CSU and UC advertisements. You might see a logo for some of the small private colleges, but we don't give counselors a chance to really know what it is about those colleges that make them unique and make them a good fit or not a good fit for a student.
They don't have the time to go traveling through.
Or the money.
Well, can you imagine if you had 400 clients in any given semester?
It would be overwhelming.
Sort of daunting. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
With some health providers, you get the impression that the final goal is profit. But Sansum Clinic is a nonprofit. Their final goal is health.
Sansum Clinic was started by doctors and is still directed by doctors dedicated to offering the very best in healthcare and healing for our patients.
A nonprofit organization where all earnings go back into continually improving healthcare for our community.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansum Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Holly McCord Duncan, a college counselor at Smart College Admission. And, you know, I just read this little tag about AHA saying, we're innovative with social emotional learning. How important does that if a child is socially emotionally intelligent, how do you get that across to the college? Because it's important, and I mean it's critical to success in life. So if they, you know, instead of having an 800 on their boards, they've got a 680, but they're really able to deal with the world. They're socially competent. How do you get that across to
That's a great question. I used to be an admission officer and read for a college. And one of the things that was always great fun for me was to take mock cases out to a group of parents and say, okay, here are four applications. Who would you admit? And oftentimes they went for the one that had the highest grades and the highest SAT score. And then we would start talking about things like, okay, this student indicates her only activity is equestrian riding. We don't have an equestrian facility where we are. She's going to be off campus. She's not going to be part of our community. What is she going to contribute? And would she be a good roommate for your kid? And that's a totally different question. So that's why those extracurriculars really do matter, and not just National Honor Society, where it's gotten better now you do community service, but people are looking, at least at the small schools where they thoroughly read the applications in that way, they're looking for indications that you have social skills, that you can work in a group, that you can be a part, somebody's roommate, that you will be a part of the community in a meaningful way, not just come to school, do your thing, and leave, because that's not what most colleges are looking for.
And most colleges colleges that don't take that into effect are doing everyone a disservice by not publicizing the fact that we're looking for kids who are well-rounded in terms of and able to be socially competent, because that would then cause high schools to be more concerned. Santa Barbara is pretty dedicated to this whole idea, but there are communities all over the country that just look, because of their parents pushing, you know, math, reading, and whatever they call hard skills are, without considering what they're really need to do to be successful in the world.
And what I try and tell students is, it doesn't matter how smart you are. If you can't communicate your knowledge, it's a very limited value, and you're not going to get far. You need to be able to have the skills where you can share what you know, you can collaborate with other people. You can't do it all on your own. In fact, it's interesting. I just had a call this morning from a parent asking, my student has been accepted to, or I think had been accepted to, or at least had applied to some of the specialized academies at our high schools. But I'm not sure that's really her thing. Should she do that? And I said, no. It's when you go to apply to college, it's not like that's a box that they're looking for. If that's who you are, and if you will benefit and invest yourself in that because that's what you want to do, great. This particular student was much more into student government and much more into things that really didn't fit one of those three boxes. So it's not as though a college will look and say, oh, that person was in the XYZ Academy, automatically admit them. They're going to look at what could you have taken in high school, what did you take, and what are the grades to show how you did the work. That's really what they're going to look at.
So speaking of clients, how do you get clients?
It's really word of mouth.
Okay, so it's you don't advertise, or you do a lot of radio, right?
I do a little bit of radio. I have banners up at one of the local high schools in the stadium, for instance. But what I find is that, well, Santa Barbara is a small town in this regard, and I grew up here, and I remember this even from when I was growing up. You have to establish your reputation, and if you do it right and you my goal is always to exceed customer expectations, and if I can do that well, then I don't need to do much. People will talk about what I do because they find value in it.
Are college counselors in the high schools allowed to recommend private?
No, okay, they are not, and I understand that. I think that's reasonable. Yeah. I like to tell students that, yes, you can do this on your own. You don't need a counselor. It may be a different outcome in the sense of you may not find the same schools, you may not find the same fit, but of course you can still go to college. There are more than 2,000 four-year colleges alone here in the United States, and that's not even throwing in the options that exist abroad. There are options. What I try and do is help students, A, discover new options, and B, help them narrow it down so they're applying to colleges that really make sense for who they are as a person and how they can. I'm looking for the right balance of challenge and support. So I want students to have to grow, and the only way we do that is being forced outside our comfort zone. But I also want them to be in an environment where if it becomes a difficult growth, there's a safety net there to help them and make sure that somebody's there to look after them.
So is it usually 10th or 11th grade when they come to see you?
Most of the time they're finding me at 11th grade. If they do start earlier, I certainly have things they can do, but I understand that most kids are not really geared toward college or thinking college to the extent that I would like them to think.
So when they come into your office the first time, is the mother or father sitting next to them, or do you?
Absolutely.
Okay, so does that cause a less than a candid conversation? Because, you know, the kid says, I don't want to go to college. He's not going to say it maybe in front of his parents. Do you get time alone with the kid?
Usually what happens is the first meeting is an introductory meeting. There's no charge. And I sit down and I talk about what the expectations are. What do you want to get out of this process? And I want to be very clear on what I offer. I don't want someone to come in thinking, oh, that she can get my child into XYZ college. I can't. I have no control. I do not sit in the admission decision position.
Well, that's not true. You can pay off the gym.
No.
Oh, you don't do that. Okay, I thought that.
My integrity is not for sale. But so I'll sit down with the student and the parent. I'll ask them some questions. I have an intake questionnaire I ask. And that kind of gives me an idea of where we're starting. And then I explain what the next steps will be. I have a whole timeline mapped out of what we're going to need to do when. And what I tell the parents is I will give you monthly progress reports. You're welcome to contact me if you have any questions or input. But what's important to me is that this be about your student, because your student is going to go live 4 or more years somewhere, and they need to feel like that's home. As much as you might want them to go to XYZ school, if I think it's going to be an honest disaster to send that kid there, I'm going to be honest about it. I'd rather they know that up front. They can ignore me, but I'd rather they know.
So what's the cost of this?
Is
it per session or is it for
no,
the whole
No, it's just
package?
A flat fee. And then I spend somewhere between 40 and 60 hours working on an individual student's everything from helping them identify where they can go for scholarships to interview practice if they need that. I will coach them through. I will ask them to brainstorm their essay with me. I will then send them away to write it. They bring it back. I warn them it'll probably take at least 2 to 3 drafts, bare minimum. I am picky about writing. I really want them to be remembered for the right reasons. And then I also spend a fair amount of time on my own getting them to visit college, giving them colleges I think they ought to visit, as well as doing the research on those colleges.
So what's the cost, Robert?
The cost altogether is $2,500, and you can start as early as your freshman year if you really want to, or as late as your junior or senior year.
Is part of your job to call the colleges, or that's left to the high school counselors?
Unless there's a specific reason I have a question, I would not call the college on their behalf.
So your role is not to pick up a phone and say, listen, you got to look at this kid. He's
no.
great.
Okay. I would have no influence in that situation. They would they'd laugh. I mean, they probably wouldn't laugh, but behind closed doors, they would laugh at me. Mm. They get those kind of calls all the time. Of course it's a good kid. There are bazillions of good kids in this world. Mm-hmm. What I do is try and make sure that these kids are presenting themselves and being remembered for the right reasons. Because having read applications in the past, I can tell you sometimes the disclosures that come across in those are just not, they don't make you memorable for the right reasons.
I went to a board meeting when I joined a new charity a few years ago, and they asked everyone to write down on a piece of paper at the first meeting what they want to accomplish for the rest of their lives. And I wrote down to be happy. And, you know, everyone laughed when I read my thing. And what I found interesting is I don't know of any high school kid that would say that's their goal, to be happy. I think their goals are what their parents have probably imbued in them or what they see on TV. And, you know, I wish more kids would look at that as not a funny line, but to be happy is really one of the things that you should aspire to.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at the epidemic of anxiety and depression that we're currently dealing with. And the expectations that we're placing on students, it's not kind. It's not reasonable that we're expecting students to be able to make decisions that always go with what their parents want them to do. Mm. And sometimes I worry about this, even with my own kids. I think, gosh, if I don't let them make some decisions and fail, be there to support them when it goes down badly. But if they're not learning that skill now, then all the work I've invested in them basically runs into a brick wall if they go to college, because I can't be there. And heaven forbid, I would never in a million years pick up a phone and call a professor and say, my son, I didn't get a grade. But it happens. And oh my goodness, we need to let our kids grow up and help them understand that there are colleges out there that if, as long as you have like a 2.1 and a 900 on your SAT, I can find you a four-year college. It doesn't have to be a Harvard.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station, and we'll be right back.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Sansom Clinic. We're there at the beginning.
And all the little and big steps along the way.
200 physicians for your every need.
A healthcare system where all profits go back into our community's health.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system. Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansom Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, improving attitude, creating social harmony, bridging the achievement gap for teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Holly McCord Duncan, who is a college counselor who guarantees that she will get your kid into Harvard, which is really important.
Wait a minute. My integrity.
Oh, sorry. I got carried away.
I don't even think Harvard's right for the vast majority of kids.
I had enough between getting into college myself, helping my two sons get into college, and you do this for a living.
Yeah.
Does it ever get frustrating? And just every time it's the same. Groundhog Day. You keep going back to the same.
Well, the nice thing is all the students are different. Every person has something different about them, so that makes it kind of fun. Yeah. It's a little bit like a jigsaw puzzle for me, where I learn things about the student, and then I try and find the colleges that are a good match for those things, but not a perfect match, because I don't want the student to be the same person for the rest of their life. I want them to grow and learn and all that, all the great things, all the out of the classroom learning that I think is often overlooked in the college search process. So for me, when I think of students, and it's always different. And I think that's what I like about it, is that every day there is a pattern to some extent, but at the same time, it's not a one-size-fits-all.
So years ago, in order to help students not have to spend years putting together their application, they came out with the Common Application.
Uh-huh.
But then I heard whispers that it's better to do your own, because they think you're more likely to be dedicated to their school. Is that true? Or does
No.
So you can do the Common Application.
The Common App is fantastic. And in fact, a lot of schools that for a while were doing both their own and the Common App have since gotten rid of their own. And so the Common App, they will not treat it any differently. They understand that students have a limited amount of time. All of the colleges want to know your name and where you live and what your activities are, et cetera, et cetera. It's a really wise system. And it does not the colleges have to sign on saying they will not discriminate on it. And in my experience working behind those closed doors where the decisions are made, We absolutely didn't distinguish.
And the application that requires a essay, are the essays different during in the common application? So, is that one place where it differs?
Well, the common application has one personal statement that everybody has to fill out, although not every school even wants that. But schools do have the option to say, we also have what we call a supplemental essay that's specific to our school. But that pops up when you get ready to submit or when you add that school to your list. It'll say, this school has a supplemental essay, and then you click on it and you can see what the topic is, whether it be about someone you admire or a leader or something that tells the admission office about you that they don't already know.
I was helping a friend's kid a few years ago, and she was really smart. So on her safety school, whatever that means, the question was, who would you like to have lunch with or dinner with, dead or alive? So I said, let's write a funny one. And we wrote, the person we'd like to have dinner with is the director of admissions of the school. And I thought it was hilarious, and that was the only school she didn't get into. So it probably means that they actually read these.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. There are a couple things that I tell every student, and that is, number one, they will be read. And please, please proofread. This is the time where you need to install Grammarly on your computer. Look into the Hemingway app, which will help you with your structure. Have somebody you trust who is a good writer edit your essays. Your voice should still come through. I don't want six different people editing your essay, because what happens then is it's kind of this odd mishmash and the student's voice gets lost. But it's really important that you truly show that you put effort into this.
But you know, it's really, I taught college for 12 years, and one of the things that astounded me, and when I went to work and I had people working for me, I found this to be the case, whether it's a freshman in college or a senior in high school, most kids today can't write. And so I don't know how the expectation of having a actually written application by a student can be well written, in the sense of, you know, the conventions that we think are important. One of the things that I think high schools don't teach is writing, and it's particularly now with the web. You know, they can't spell. They don't. Grammar is considered to be for, you know, the boomers. And so I know you're not supposed to over edit, but I can imagine what the first draft of some of these essays must look like.
Well, I do require that students run them through Grammarly before I ever see them.
What's Grammarly?
Is a free app. You can get a paid version of it, but you don't. I would just use the free version. And you put your essay, you write your essay, and it will tell you when you come to awkward or you have tense disagreement, for instance, I, and then later in the sentence you use there, mm-hmm. or it's just a basic grammar and spell check. And you can probably get that to some extent in Word or Google Docs these days, mm-hmm. but I find Grammarly to be particularly useful.
The SATs and the ACTs,
yes.
And not any of the, what do the colleges do that in the back room, do they, you know, they say it doesn't really matter. What matters, and which one do you need to take, or all of them?
You need to pay careful attention to what the schools want, because different schools have different requirements. Some will want subject tests. Some will not. Some will take, if you take the SAT more than once, they will, some schools just take your one best sitting. Other schools do what they call super score. So if you took a March SAT and got a great English score, and you took a August SAT and got a fantastic math score, they'll take the best of those two different sittings, and they call that super scoring. It's to the college's advantage, because it gives them the chance to raise their numbers as well, because they report all this data back to places like U.S. News and World Report. Mm. So the colleges have an incentive to give you that, quote, benefit of the doubt and take your best scores from different sittings, too.
What do you think of those published
I am not a fan of rankings. Yeah. I am not a fan of rankings. I think it's a disservice to students, because it gets people so focused on a brand name and a rank, when honestly, that's not the experience. You have to figure out where you are going to have the best experience. And a rank doesn't tell you that. A rank is just a number. It may include how many alumni give back to the school. Well, is that really going to make a big difference in your education? It may include the number of graduate students on campus versus this class size and the number of classes taught directly by faculty members, there's so, if you are not looking at the individual components of how that ranking is devised, why bother?
Well, this year's U.S. News and World Report ranked the student scores 10 times more importantly than teacher rankings. And I like to say that's like, you know, valuing a restaurant and decor, not food. You know, how can you rank teachers such a small part of the total ranking? So the weightings that that U.S. News and World Report and other newspapers and magazines are themselves suspect, and you know that's why it's
if you're
silly.
Letting someone else tell you what value is, you're missing the point. You need to ask analytical questions. You need to ask for the data. You need to understand, are their priorities my priorities? Because if they're not, why would you listen to them?
So strategically, I don't know how many schools you recommend someone apply to, but there should be a long shot, a 50-50 shot, and a safety? Or there
generally.
There's a strategy that goes into which applications.
Generally, when I work with students, I encourage them to apply 9 to 12 schools, depending on the student. The more challenging ones are honestly the kids who are at the top of their game and have crazy GPAs and crazy SAT scores, because there is, in one sense, there's no reach school because they meet all the criteria, but in the other sense, everything is a reach school because these are schools that are admitting 9% or 5% or some minute number of students. So in that case, there's often no 50-50 for those students. They're either a reach school or a safety school because they far exceed the average student freshman profile.
Is there any truth to the rumor that I've been hearing for 40 years that high school counselors trade off kids? That is, there are 10 kids applying for a spot at Cornell, and they all have perfect scores, and the admissions person will say, look, I want you to take number 1 and number 7 because 2, 3, and 4 are going to go to Harvard.
No.
The legend started because some of these kids wouldn't get into certain schools, but they got into other schools. Does that ever happen?
No.
Okay.
So. That is definitely a myth. When colleges want as many people to apply as they can get, because then they can reject more and look more selective, is one cynical way to look at it. But at the same time, they want to be in control of the decision-making process, because that may be the year they need more men or more women, or maybe they need to round out a sports team, or maybe they need to round out a band. You don't know. The criteria can change every year. So for a counselor to say, oh, take these, not these, no.
And there's no limit how many kids they'll take from the same high school?
I suppose that would vary with each college and how selective they are, to be honest. Mm-hmm. They probably wouldn't want 17 kids all from a small private high school where the kids all know each other. But at the same time, there are schools out there that are looking to fill their numbers, and that may not be a consideration for them. It really is a big market.
So, one of the things that kids do today is they take a year off.
And a gap year.
Gap year. And, you know, we could talk about whether a gap year is good or bad for the student, but is it help in terms of, I know when I went to business school, I was told, don't come to school right away. We like to have people with business experience between college. I mean, they specifically rather you took a year off or 2 years off and got a job.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true today gap years are looked at as a good thing or?
I don't think there's one size fits all for that. I think some kids are more ready to go to college than others. I think that there's a really good reasoning for a lot of kids to just take a year off. They're feeling exhausted. They're feeling overwhelmed. They're feeling like, do I really just want to go back to the grind that quickly? And taking a year off is great if you have a plan. But this is not just I'm taking a year off and I'm going to sit on the couch or play my Xbox or whatever the case might be. Colleges are not going to go for that.
So they're going to ask you what you did.
Oh, absolutely. If you apply, and a lot of kids will apply to colleges and then ask for a deferral. And some systems do that, some schools won't. So you really have to know the school that you're applying to. But if you ask for a deferral, let's say they admit you and then you go back to them and say, actually, I'd like to take a year off. They're going to ask you, what are you going to do with that year? They want to know, are you going to study abroad? Are you going to have a full-time job? Are you going to go volunteer with your church group? What is it that's going to fill your time that will add to your value in their community?
So watching repeats of Friends on Netflix would not be helpful.
I don't think that's going to fly.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
With some health providers, you get the impression that the final goal is profit. But Sansum Clinic is a nonprofit. Their final goal is health.
Sansum Clinic was started by doctors and is still directed by doctors dedicated to offering the very best in healthcare and healing for our patients.
A nonprofit organization where all earnings go back into continually improving healthcare for our community.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansum Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Holly McCord-Duncan from Smart College Admission, a college counselor. And we were talking about early decision and, we're talking about the gap years and how important it is to make sure that if you're going to take a gap year, you actually have something that is going to improve your value to a college and not just, you know, sit around and
it's
do nothing.
Not a slack year.
So what about local schools? What about the SBCC Promise Program where basically, for any resident, you can go to school for free. No matter how smart you are, does that make sense? First of all, economically, it makes sense. You get 2 years out of 4 years. You can then transfer, and the savings are huge. But does it make sense?
I have really mixed feelings on this. The idea I love. I think it's brilliant that anybody can have access and that economics won't be the barrier. My concern about it is we don't have data. We don't know how many of the students who enroll at City College enroll with the intent of getting a four-year degree. We don't know how many actually get their two-year degree. So we don't know how many we're losing along the way. All we know for sure is every year this many associate degrees are handed out and this many are eligible to transfer. We don't have data to indicate where those students are going and if they're actually getting a four-year degree. And the worry for me is, nationally, especially for first-generation students, only 20% go on to get a four-year degree, and those who started a community college are less likely than those who enroll directly in a four-year college to actually obtain a bachelor's degree. And that's a pretty big financial difference for the rest of your life. People with bachelor's degrees are more likely to volunteer in their community. They're more likely to – their kids are more likely to get an advanced or a bachelor's degree. They're more likely to be active as volunteers. There's a number of ramifications. So the idea is great. And there are some kids who that's a perfect match because they know what they want to do and they'll keep themselves on track. I worry about the rest that we aren't tracking. And are we serving them as well as we could?
Well, yeah, I can't help but bounce off your comment because, again, CSUCI is one of our sponsors, but they have a program, a mentoring program, and they have very, very high, I think it's 93% of the kids who go through the mentor-mentee program continue on. And so there's no question the first, and they're mostly first generation, the first generation kids without mentoring are going to drop out. And I think most of these junior colleges have three or four counselors for, you know, 20,000 kids. And, you know, you're going to get lost. And if your parents don't have a college history,
exactly,
they're not going to know how to help you. And, you know, you just get – if I had gone to college without help, I wouldn't have made it.
Well, you can't – these people who have helped you get to the point where you may be college eligible are suddenly unable to help you navigate this whole new environment. And if you're not getting the support, you don't even know what questions to ask a lot of the time. And I do some volunteer work with first-generation students just because I love them. They're pretty amazing and they deserve a chance. But I'll give talks to anybody. I mean, it does, and I have website information on my website that people can use. You don't have to hire me to get the benefit of much of my knowledge.
What is your website?
SmartCollegeAdmission.com.
That's pretty easy to remember.
Pretty easy.
And if you can't remember that, you shouldn't go to college. Is that a good conclusion?
Nope. I don't believe in giving one chances. I believe in multiple chances.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education. We'll be right back with our final segment.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Sansum Clinic. We're there at the beginning.
And all the little and big steps along the way.
200 physicians for your every need.
A healthcare system where all profits go back into our community's health.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system. Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansum Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Holly McCord Duncan from Smart College Admission, who guarantees your kid will get into the best school. It's an amazing
school for them, right, if they plan ahead and we find the right fit. I don't guarantee they're going to get into any particular school.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, everyone knows the brand name schools. You know, but what if the child is interested in very specific things, you know, religion, architecture, music? There may be better schools than we know.
Absolutely.
So one of the value added you can bring is once you understand what the kid's passion is, to say, look, the best school for you is.
Well, and it doesn't even have to be about their passion because, frankly, at 18, not many kids know their passion. Yeah. It may be that you have a kid who's on the autism spectrum or who has a learning disability and they need that support. There are colleges that are better suited for those kids that have a better chance of succeeding. There are colleges out there that will help you graduate with no debt. Now, you will work. That's part of the deal. You may be serving food in the cafeteria. You may be cleaning the toilets. But they will work with you to make sure that by the time you graduate, you're graduating debt-free. You may have a kid who's really into the environment. There's a whole consortium of schools that have really robust outdoor education programs that complement. Like, there's one in Minnesota where the last, I think it's 6 weeks of the class goes canoeing down a river and camps overnight in these various places to learn about the ecology.
Yeah, but it's too cold.
I think that's spring semester that they hold that one
then
for.
Then they have mosquitoes.
Yeah, it's always something.
There's always something. So what about strategically the question, my younger son got into a really good school applying early admission. And it also resulted in less anxiety for the next 3 months. And one of the reasons he did early admissions is we believed at the time that it would show real commitment. Does that help?
It can. So there's different iterations of that. There's early decision, which means you can only apply to one school or early decision. You're telling that school, if I get in there, I'm going, that's it. You have to withdraw your applications everywhere else, and you will never know whether or not you got in. The downside of that, and the reason a lot of kids can't even afford to do it, is because you can't compare financial aid packages. So if you apply early action, if the school offers it, what that means is you can turn in your application early, you'll get a decision early, but you are not obligated to make a decision on your end until May 1st.
So that's interesting. So if you consider financial aid, that becomes more problematical.
Yes.
If you're going to pay for it yourself, then it really doesn't matter. Strategically, it makes sense.
A lot of – I don't think – 78% of our country lives paycheck to paycheck. There are a lot of families out there that can't afford to say, sure, we'll go wherever you want to go. You have to make a reasonable decision. I don't want someone graduating with the average $37,000 worth of debt. That is crazy. Okay.
So what if you have a student that it really shines, you know, it has every interest and has great grades and great scores, but as a sophomore, he or she only was working with half a brain and has nude photos on their iPhone or has quotes about the revolution is coming. Do colleges look at online information to see what this kid's all about in private?
For the most part, they don't have time. But when it becomes an issue is when something comes to – when somebody else brings it to their attention, or they do have the right to go on social media and look. And if there's something in the application that makes them curious, yeah, they'll go look. But you better – I tell students, you better scrub your social media. You better make sure your privacy settings. But keep in mind that even if you've done all that, someone can screenshot something. And if you got into the school that kid really wanted to, what happens when that kid then sends that screenshot to that school and you are now disqualified? And you don't – who's going to take you after that?
Yeah, so that's something that kids should be aware of anyway. But
social media is
– So in the final 30 seconds, tell us how everyone should get in touch with you.
The easiest way is to go to my website, smartcollegeadmission.com, read through some of the blog posts, whether it's me choosing a college, preparing for college, writing essays, see if those kinds of things are of interest to you. Use what you can. And if you think you want additional help to find the right colleges just for you, get in touch.
And as you said before, it's free, the first session. So
yes.
Nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose.
Well, thank you, Holly, so much for all you do. Thank you for being here. Holly McCord Duncan from Smart College Admissions. And thank you all for listening to AHA Presents About Education. And we'll see you next week.